We have been doing a series on Wednesday nights. It's been a couple of weeks since we were last in the Gospels, but we've been dealing with the subject of six sweeping statements about prayer. The first one we talked about was in Matthew chapter 18 and verses 19, which said, "Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Verse 20. "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Now that was the first sweeping statement that we looked at, that whenever two people gather together with a need and they pray to God, there's always a third one that's present, the Lord Jesus Christ. If there are three gathered together, there's always a fourth one. Do you think about that as you pray? Maybe it's you and your wife that get together and pray, maybe for the children, or maybe there's some prayer request. There's always the Lord Jesus Christ that's with you. When you go to the groups, when the children gather together, there's always one more there. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That presence of Christ in our prayer time is something that needs to be in our hearts and in our thinking and in our understanding, because it changes and transforms how we pray. Knowing that He's there and that He is listening. And He says in verse 19, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. If the desire of the heart is for Christ to be honored and glorified, Christ is there in the midst, and He goes to His Father and He cries out to His Father the need of our hearts. And the Lord answers that prayer. That's a glorious truth that we need to get a hold of. Now you say, "Well, I've asked Him for things over time and He didn't answer my prayer." Well, there's a lot of other things we're learning about these sweeping statements about prayer. We're going to get into one of those tonight. But think about it honestly. Did He not answer the prayer? Did He not answer the prayer? You know, God never leaves His children hanging out there with ethereal prayer requests that never get answered. I've thought so many times in recent months of how the Lord has undertaken so many different times. We try to make it a daily habit in our eighth grade homeroom to not only mention prayer requests, but also to thank the Lord for answers to prayer. When somebody's parent gets a job that we've been praying for, or a child, the Lord raises up a child that we've been praying for, a specific prayer request, that we honor the Lord by glorifying His name and saying, "Thank you, God, for how..." Because I think sometimes when we ask and then the prayer request comes, we're so intent on the other prayer request, we forget to say what? "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for answering prayer." We need to make as much about the answer to prayer as we do about the making of prayer. Are we all in agreement about that? We need to make as much in our families, in our church, whenever God undertakes and answers prayer, to say, "Lord, as a corporate body and as individuals, we want to thank You for how You've undertaken and answered this specific prayer request." And most times it's ways that we would never imagine. And the way He brings glory unto Himself is such a way we say, "Lord, it's just amazing how You did that." So it's very important. The second one that we looked at, sweeping statement, is in Mark. And we look specifically at chapter 11, verses 22 through 23. "And Jesus answering said unto them," His disciples, "have faith in God." Now they were all marveling that the fig tree had dried up and had died. Remember what had happened? The Lord Jesus had gone to the fig tree and He looked there and there was no fruit. And He said, "Cursed be thou, fig tree." And they came back the next day, and the fig tree was dead. And they all were marveling among themselves. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto Him, "Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest has withered away." Was Jesus surprised? The Lord Jesus said, didn't go, "Wow, it actually did what I said." No, the Lord never has a wow moment. All His commands are exercised every minute of every day throughout all eternity. And we dare question Him that He's not faithful? We question Him why things happen? Let me tell you something. If the Lord Jesus Christ decided to take a break, this whole world would go would explode into a billion pieces. Every little atom inside your body is controlled by the Lord Jesus Christ. When was the last time you meditated on that? Every atom, breathe in, breathe out, is controlled by Jesus Christ. Every atom that's functioning in your body, every atom that keeps this pulpit together. You know, there's atoms that are moving, molecules that are moving. They're moving very slowly, but they're moving. The Lord Jesus Christ is keeping everything under His charge perfectly. Isn't that wonderful? And sometimes we dare to question, you know, why this happened, why that happened. Let me tell you something. If Jesus were to take 1 second and just say, I'm going to stop controlling the world, this whole world would explode and go to pieces. By Him, the Bible says, all things consist. They are cohesive by His care, and they exercise their roles in His care. You know, it's a marvel how they've been tracking all of these asteroids that are out in outer space, and we're trying to keep track of all of our satellites and all the different things that have broken off satellites and are floating around up there. We've got some satellites as big as Greyhound buses floating around the earth, and we're trying to keep track of all that with our satellites and so forth like that. Do you know that God doesn't have a computer bank system that He's consulting with to make sure everything's all right? It's all in His great being. It's all within Him to care for everything. And God's not surprised. And He says to the disciples, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, this is not telling us that we're to go out and try to exercise our faith by commanding mountains to be cast into the ocean. No, the point is this. God is able. And so, he says, therefore, taking into consideration that if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. In other words, we're to exercise faith in a more than capable God. That's the whole point. Do you believe that God is capable? I think sometimes when we pray, we're praying, but we've got a plan B that's going on in the back of our minds. It's kind of like the old Israelite kings that always had a plan B and C going on. They were making little peace deals and confederacies with the other nations to watch out just in case God doesn't come through. We want to make sure we're planning ahead. Isn't that nice? Whatever happened to exercising complete faith in God that He's able to care? You see, when many pray, what they're thinking is, if God doesn't bring this to pass, I'll bring this to pass. This is what I want, but it may not be what God wants. That's the whole point. We're to pray in Jesus' name for His glory, not ours. And so we're praying, Lord, you take care of this over here, but we've got this thing going on over here where we're already taking care of it. And then when we bring it all to pass, we'll say, oh God, thank you for bringing that to pass whenever we were the ones that carried it through. We need to think about that. The Lord is teaching His disciples here to have faith in God, to know that God is capable. The disciples were surprised that the fig tree was withered. They were surprised. I would imagine all of us would have been surprised too. If we were walking along that road with the disciples, all the folks from Grace Bible Church, we would all... It's dead! We would have been just like Peter. It's easy to point the finger at Peter. Oh, Peter, you should have trusted, but we do the same thing. We would be googly-eyed and our mouth drop, and we couldn't believe it either. That's the way we are in our human hearts. And God says, I want you to exercise faith, disciples. I want you to reach out beyond yourself and your plans and your ambitions, and I want you to trust in the more than capable God who's able to take care of all of your needs. I want to take you to number 3 very quickly. And we're just going to touch on this. One of my favorite passages. This is the third of the six that we're going to look at, these sweeping statements about prayer. Look at verse 13 of John chapter 14. "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments." Now, the last four of the six are right here in John chapters 14, 15, and 16 that we're going to look at, because these are just incredibly sweeping statements about prayer. Now, the repetition that's given in this passage of Scripture is striking. Do you ever have to repeat things? One of my mom's favorite verses when we were growing up was line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, because we would always say, "Mom, why do you keep repeating?" She had sayings that she would repeat. "Mom, why do you keep repeating those?" Okay? In the morning, she would come in and she'd always have this morning chime that she would do, you know, to get up in the morning, get ready to come in for Bible reading and breakfast and so forth like that. And we heard it every day, every year. That was her chime. She was our alarm clock. And she'd come in there, "Mom, why do you always say that?" "Well, you always get up." "Well, I guess so. That works, doesn't it?" And she'd have her favorite sayings. "Why do you say that?" "Because I want to get it into your craw." And guess what I'm saying to my kids? Guess what I'm saying at school? I find myself all the time repeating phrases and things that I learned as a child growing up. Things stick in your hearts and minds when they are what? Repeated. When they're repeated. And he repeats himself here. "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." But notice, conditional if. "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Now here's the thing. This is such a broad, sweeping statement. "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." And we take that and run with it, don't we? It's like the kid that wants to be first in line. Okay, I'm going to give you the question and you give me the answer. And they get two or three words into the question and they start, they spout off the answer. "No, I'm sorry, that's wrong." You know, you ever been in that situation where we're going to read the question and the first one now that gives the answer is going to be the winner? How many times I jumped up to say the answer and it was wrong because I didn't listen to the rest of the question. All right? And so many people take this, "If I ask anything, He will do it." Boom! But they don't read the rest of the verses here. "If ye love me," what's the rest of it? "Keep my commandments." Now here's a sweeping statement with a condition. It's wonderful that God will hear and answer our requests, and there's no request. As long as it's asked in His name, and for His glory, that God will not consider. But you know what? There's a condition in place, and that is if you love Him and you keep His commandments. You know, this is so important. If ye love me, there is a conditional statement relative to what He's just said, and the expression of our love is not empty. It's not empty. I hear, and I've used this before, but you go around Milton, there's a lot of convenience stores where you're going to get called honey, sweetie pie. I mean, it's just, and people throw those words out. "How you doing, honey? How you doing, sweetie?" Somebody behind the counter, you know. And, your eyes kind of roll back in the back of your head, you know. That's just in the South they do that. They don't do that up North, do they? No, they don't do that. And nobody would say that to Kevin. Now, has anybody down here said that to you? Nobody's called you honey or sweetie? Okay, except your wife, right? That's good. But you know, in the South, you'll hear that. You'll hear a waitress at a restaurant. Boy, they'll throw those words out. And so as you're going, "Love you now." What? They don't even know me. "Love you now?" We throw these words around. "Love you now." "Bye, sweetie." "Bye, honey." All these words that mean absolutely what? You're not there, honey. And if you believe it, then you need to go bang your head against the pole outside, wake up a little bit, and realize they don't love you, and you're not their sweetie. or their honey, for that matter. But you know what? People do that to God all day long. We love you, God, as we go into our disobedience to do our own thing. We love you, God, as we crank out music that's an abomination to God, written by the world, loved by the world, and yet we offer it up to God. We have people today that in secret curse and swear and tell all kinds of dirty jokes, and then they show up to church and they put on their sanctified Joe attitude, and they're just as nice and sweet as they can be, and then they go out and they live their second life. If you love me, it's conditional, keep my commandments. This is the condition for what comes before. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it, if ye love me. Finish the line there as you go through. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Folks, we have no right to talk to God and ask for things when we don't obey His commandments. You're like a child that's out of favor with the Father. How can you go and ask God to give healing to your child whenever you're disobedient to His Word? We need to examine our hearts. What kind of obedience is there? Do we really love the Lord? Are we following His commands? Do we know the Bible well enough to know where His commands are? Some people don't. They're not in the Word of God faithfully like they ought to be. They're not studying the Word of God, and so they're not familiar with His commands, and therefore they're not keeping His commands. But yet we'll throw out prayers all the time, and then we get all upset because things aren't happening according to like we wanted to do, and I ask God. I'll finish with this story. Dr. J. Vernon McGee was telling about time that he talked with Dr. Harry Ironside. Dr. Ironside related to him an account that took place in the very church where Dr. J. Vernon McGee would one day pastor. And the pastor at that time leaned over to Harry Ironside. He was preaching a prolonged series of messages. And he said, "There's a young lady that just walked in the back door that used to be a part of this church. She was one of our Sunday school teachers, and she was one of my trusted individuals, but she hasn't been to church in over a year. She just walked in the door. Let's have prayer together." So he and Dr. Ironside prayed, and he preached a message from this very passage that I just shared with you in John 14. Dr. Ironside stepped down from the pulpit after the invitation time, walked to the back, went down the aisle, and that young lady came out and said, "May I speak to you, Dr. Ironside, privately," just like that. Not in a kind voice at all. "May I speak to you privately?" So they went over to the side of the auditorium, and she lit into him. "How dare you preach a message like that? I prayed for my daddy who was dying, and he died? God did not answer my prayer. That verse is not even accurate. How dare you preach that?" I said, "Well, ma'am, this is God's Word. I just preached God's Word. Let me ask you something. Did you listen to the third point, which was that last verse that I read to you? If ye love me, keep my commandments." "Do you keep God's commandments?" And her face turned red as a beet. And she could not answer. She tried to formulate the words, Dr. Ironside, in her tongue to try to reply. And she was so taken by what he said. "Have you kept His commandments?" She knew if she were to say anything, she would be lying. She had walked out of church. She had walked out on God. She had not followed God's Word. He said, "If you love Him, you would keep His commandments." Do you love Him? She took her Bible and she gave it to him and she walked out the door. She would have none of it because of that last part. "If you love me, keep my commandments." She was struck right between the eyes with that message because she couldn't respond. She knew what was in her heart. She knew that she wasn't keeping God's command. She had no right to ask God because she wasn't following God's word. And I'll say the same thing tonight for all of us here, that we have no right to ask God anything if we are not keeping His commands. You got to take those verses together, amen? You got to take them together. Don't parse God's words and just take part of them. Don't take Him out of context. You don't like to be taken out of context, do you? You don't like to say something and somebody twists your words all around and make them to mean somebody. Well, don't do that to God's word. Take them in context, what He says. I will answer your request. My Father will be pleased to bring glory unto His Son if you love Him, if you keep His commandments. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this time in the Word tonight. We ask, Father, that You would indeed work in our hearts, Lord. We pray that we might be honest and examine ourselves. So many times we ask things carelessly when we have not obediently followed Your Word. I pray that we might indeed show our love to Thee, not just in word, but also in deed. Lord, as obedient children, we have every right to go to our Father and to ask Him anything in the name of Jesus Christ and for His glory. But with sin in the heart and disobedience, we have no right. All we can ask for is forgiveness of sin and cleansing that comes through Thee. And so, Father, I pray that You would once again acquaint us with the truth of this passage, this sweeping statement that sounds so wonderful. Whatsoever we ask in the name of the Father, He will do it if we love Him and keep His commandments. Father, bless Your word tonight. We pray that You would indeed undertake for these prayer requests that have been mentioned tonight. Lord, we desire to have Your will performed in our lives and in the lives of others that we pray for. And we'll give You the glory and the praise for all that You do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and good night.